Turn to Matthew, Gospel of Matthew. Word of God says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. You'll find some five times that there was an appearance, supernatural appearance in a dream. I'm in Matthew chapter 1, reading the latter part of verse 20. This angel said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Whew! Rock, that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. His name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You know, we've had a season where we've had a lot of folks speaking and a lot of wonderful word coming forth. But I want to just talk to you tonight. I say talk, but I want to share with you tonight about Joseph, who is the earthly father of Jesus. You know, anyone who knows anything about Catholicism knows that about 95% of Catholicism is about Mary. I mean, everybody knows that. That's a known fact. And then you go overseas, the same thing we say about Jesus when, you know, they say that if you believe in him with all of your heart and confess him with your mouth, you'll be saved. I've seen it on churches down in Mexico that if you believe on Mary in your heart, and I've seen it written out on churches. And, you know, I have the greatest respect for Mary. In fact, I do a lot of preaching about Mary because she made some of the strongest faith statements ever made in the Word of God. How shall it be? That's a good logical question. I have things tonight. I could say, how shall it be? But the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. We're Holy Ghost people. I said, we're Holy Ghost people. I want to say it again. We are Holy Ghost people. I said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. And that thing which is done in you is going to be of God. And Luke gives us that recording. But as I look at Joseph, the Bible said in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband-to-be, of course, they were not married at the time that this particular verse was written. They were engaged to be married. Being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. Joseph was a Christian gentleman, we would say today. He was minded to put her away privately. But the angel of the Lord appeared to him. You know, Joseph is, if there was ever an hour, we need men of, Joseph was a man of God. I said Joseph was a man of God. I thank God that my Baptist father later on in his life, Dad received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But my mother, my grandmother, received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in Houston, Texas, under Raymond T. Ritchie's ministry, who was an Oral Roberts of many days gone by, had tents in the church and all kind of things. But my grandmother was full of the Holy Ghost. She was a Baptist plus, and my mother was a Baptist plus, and my aunt was a Baptist plus. So I have the greatest respect for on fire for God women full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, my life has been spared because of the prayers, and there's just no way I could say it any stronger than that. But, you know, as we look into the Word of God, I think if there's ever been a Bible character overlooked, it was Joseph. Joseph. And, you know, just as I have no problem with seeing how Mary excelled in her faith and her life, and thank God for Mother Mary, as we call her. But let me tell you something. Mother Mary, the whole story could not have been complete because God is a God of divine order. I mean, she's already of the Holy Ghost with the baby. I mean, you say, well, God can just do what he wants to. No, God works through divine order. And you see this father thing comes in there, and you're hearing more and more about it. This father thing comes in there. The father thing comes in there. And it's not a light thing with God. And so it was important. Joseph was an important man. He was a just man. You know what that just means? It means he was a good man. It means he was a man of integrity. It means that he was a man whose word was his bond. I remember my father, who was raised on a farm in Seymour, Texas, talks about, you know, people would walk miles to keep their word back years ago. They'd walk. I mean, they'd walk. They'd give you their word. And if it had to be whatever, you know, if there's times you can't do it, but if you can't do it, you'd walk and tell them why you couldn't do it and when you will do it. But I look at Joseph. He was a just man. He was a good man. Joseph was not a loud person. He was not a flamboyant person. But Joseph was just one of those, he was there. In fact, my father-in-law, who preached for so many years before he went home to be with the Lord, the last time he preached was in the pulpit of our church downtown that the tornado virtually destroyed that building. And the title of his message, I don't remember any of the points, but I remember this. The title of my father-in-law's message was, Joseph, the man who was there. He was there for God. He was there for Jesus. He was there for Mary, and he was there for us. Think about that. Joseph was there for God. He was a man of God. God knew that he was a man that he could send an angel, and he could trust that Joseph would hear that angel and do the right thing. What I mean, obey God. You think God would have just thrown that away? No, God had confidence that when the message was communicated to Joseph, that Joseph would flow in the divine plan. Oh, dear Lord. So he was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. He was a righteous man. When I say righteous, all of our righteousness without God is filthy rags. But he desired to do the right thing. You know, it's so good to be around people that just desire to do the right thing. I mean, we've had some one or two break-ins, and you know, you just think of there's folks that they don't want to work. They want to go around and steal what you got working. It's just good to know that there's people. And in both situations, they caught them and they just got released from prison for doing the very thing. So they're going back for the very thing they didn't learn the lesson from the first time. And got some expensive stuff and gave it to the pawn dealer and away we go. See, that's so much of the society that we're seeing today. But we need the spirit of Joseph, a just man, a good man. He wasn't afraid to do the right thing. And the Bible tells us that Joseph was a carpenter. Now, I don't know what kind of carpenter he was. I don't know if it was furniture or if it was interior or if he was did framing work as we think that. I don't know what their building patterns were back then. But Joseph was a carpenter. And Jesus was a carpenter's son. And I felt, as I looked at this man, here was a man who was there. He was solid. He wasn't loud. He wasn't flamboyant. I don't know that he had a charismatic personality. That's good to have that if you don't lean on that instead of leaning on God. But sitting on this platform a while ago, you know, I do my best to depend upon the Holy Spirit. And as I was thinking about Joseph, he lived for God. He wasn't living for himself. His reaction to Mary, his reaction to the angel, his reaction to just leave everything and go down to Egypt at the instruction of God. He lived for God. He also heard from God. He heard from God. And our speaker Sunday was talking about pursuing the will of God. In other words, hearing from God, knowing what the will of God is. He heard from God. But he not only heard from God, he applied his faith to God's words to him. No matter what is preached from this pulpit or any pulpit, you've got to wrap your faith around that for that to happen. You know, I rejoice at what God's doing in outreach here. We've done it before. We've gone through many seasons. We haven't done it as we're doing it now for some time. We've reached souls. This church swings the bat from the left. We swing it from the right. We swing it overseas. We swing it over the border. You know, we do what we can do with all of our life. But God has opened this door again at this season. And this is so thrilling to see people catch the vision and to go and do what God called them to do. But here's the thing with Joseph. He knew what God had called him to do. And as you look at Joseph's life, he's engaged to Mary. But he has a tremendous shock. And to, I shouldn't say that, but I guess you'll understand what I'm saying. Today, that wouldn't be much of a shock. But I mean, all of a sudden, the young lady that he's engaged to, she's with child. Okay. Now, shock number two is an angelic visitation. Have you ever had an angel, 10-foot angel, just walk up to you? I haven't. But everybody that I read about in the Bible that had an angelic encounter, they fell without a catcher. Man, you look at a 10-foot angel, what are you going to say? Hama, hama, hama. And hard to open one eye to see what the angel's going to say next. Because an angel either brought you good news or bye-bye. You're not long. And as I looked at this man, shock number two, he was visited by an angel from God. Gabriel, as I understand it, shock number three. And here's what we need to hear. And God spoke this to some people in the prayer line tonight. We all need to hear it. God said, fear not. In the shock of your life, in a disaster time in the natural, I mean an embarrassing time. What do you, being a just man, he didn't want to make a public example of. I mean, this was an honorable man. And regardless of how the child came, he was going to do the right thing. And God saw that. But shock number, thank God, number three, is no matter what you're facing tonight, it's stronger than an angel. It's from the throne of God. God is saying, you don't have to fear. No matter what you face, no matter, as long as your faith is in the Word of God. You know, I have friends that come, and I haven't had time to tell everybody. But you know, when someone comes, I don't care what kind of electronic gadget you use, or a pad or pod or whatever you want to do behind the pulpit. I mean, let this be seen. Let the Bible be seen. You say you're old-fashioned? I plead guilty. I still believe we need to see the Word of God. We need to see, thus saith the Lord. That's just... Hey, that's not heaven or hell. That's just my personal conviction on that. But you see, as I looked at Joseph, he heard fear not. And this Bible is full of fear nots. Now, that little gadget will only say fear not for what you feed it. But I'm telling you, all through this Bible, there's fear nots on purpose. God says, fear not, fear not, fear not. Isaiah 41's full of it. I mean, it just goes on. Praise God. The Lord God will help me. Fear not. God said, I'll help you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid anymore. Fear not. They look like every demon out of hell's coming against you, but you can say, yes, Pastor, I believe that. Fear not, fear not. Oh, praise be unto God. But now here's shot number four. The baby your wife's about to have is of the Holy Ghost. Oh. Now, I'm not being, you know, I got to lighten up a little bit because you're looking too serious on me. But I mean, you know, we're getting into some serious waters here now. I'm engaged. I want to do the right thing. I want to, what? And it's a... And he received that. You know, there's things in our life that only God can do. And they don't make sense without knowing the power of God, the supernatural power of God. I guess that's one reason I love and appreciate not the physical building, but just the overall of what God's done here. And I know the day will come when God will promote me to higher ground. But, you know, for 48 years, I've seen signs, wonders, and miracles. I've seen God bring this church through impossible, impossible situations. I mean, millions of dollars of impossibilities. And I've seen God bring us through. I've seen God bring us through lawsuits. I've seen God bring us through all kinds of craziness and rebellion and awesome things. And you know, but you know what brought us through? The Holy Ghost brought us through. God brought us through. And you know what's going to bring you through? God's going to bring you through. Trust in God with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge Him. God will bring you through. You've heard the story how that we were helping teach a Bible school over in Dallas. And I needed to be doing that in the natural. But I drove 3 days, sometimes twice a day. And I guess that's one reason I appreciate Brother Greg Moore so much. He came and did exactly the same thing I did in Dallas. I didn't think there's a preacher on the face of the earth that would kill himself like I did here that time. Just about wore out a car and went to sleep at the wheel two or three times. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I was sowing for miracles in this church. I was sowing for miracles in this church. I mean, we were on the line. We had to have miracles, and I was sowing. And, you know, during that time, never knowing that all that we were teaching was going to be distributed all over the world, I got a call. I'm talking about this carpenter thing. Got a call from Winter Park, Colorado. And I guess skiers would understand that, but Winter Park's where we started skiing so many years ago. And it said, we got a video up here, and we're in a Spirit-filled Presbyterian church. And we want you to come up here and preach for us. Well, I didn't know there's anybody saved in Winter Park except us coming in and out. All you'd see is Volkswagens and big dogs and hippies. And, you know, it was kind of a different world up there at that time. And come to find out that I was talking to a man who had been a Zen Buddhist, a man who was on drugs, a man whose life was, I mean, it was a sordid situation, but the power of God saved him and turned him around. And he was a carpenter, and now he's building luxury condominiums up in Winter Park, Colorado, where we've gone so many times. And he said, would you come up and preach? And when I contacted him, I said, man, that's our vacation time in August. I do a lot of going and moving. I need to be with my wife and my children. He said, well, let's put it this way. He said, we'll fly you up where you like to come anyway. We'll give you a four-wheel drive, and we'll set you up in a luxury condominium, and we'll bless you, and we'll give you 10 days if you just give us 5 days. I said, I believe we got a deal going here. And so we preached on a tent next door to 7-Eleven, and we'd catch the RVs coming by. They'd have to stop at the light. And we did street preaching out there. You got to hit them quick. And then we went to a Full Gospel Businessmen's. And then we went to a Presbyterian church. Then we went down to Grand Lake to a Spirit-filled Presbyterian church. And we went somewhere else. We went and we saw God moving away. And then we hardly got home until we were in communication. He called us and he said, you know, God's called us to go to Grenada, my wife and I. And I said, what you going to do there? He said, God called us down there to work with young people. And so we assisted them. They sold out everything they had there in Winter Park, Colorado, went down to Grenada. And then he wasn't there too long. I don't remember how long he was there. We bought, I don't know, a couple of three vans and helped them. He said, I want to start a Christian television station on the island of Grenada. And I was like, dear Lord, this guy's crazy. I mean, he hadn't been completely delivered from where he came. And but you see, God spoke to his heart to start a television station, population of 90,000 or 100,000. And you think, well, what about that? I'm not a television. I don't know anything about the mechanics of a television. But he did. He was gifted. He was a carpenter. He was a builder. And so they bought an old house that was built in the 1800s back there. And a piece of property, and raised up a television station on the island of Grenada. And of course, some of you know the story, some of you don't. But we saw God do for how many years? We were a vital part, 18 years at least. And it's still on the air, and we're conversing and seeing what we can do in a different way. But we saw God work a miracle in television. And then would you believe a Ugandan engineer came from Uganda and was saved through watching a program on Lighthouse Television in Grenada, 100,000. And the next 3 weeks later, he calls back and says, this Ugandan wants us to bring Christian television to Uganda. I thought, man, I'm getting deeper in this thing by the minute, you know. Dear Lord, I mean, Grenada, I didn't even know where Grenada was. And then we made many trips there, and we saw many victories in that situation. And it's a long story, and I can't get into it, but I never want to forget it. Out of the little came the big. And I said, well, tell him he has to get his license. Well, two leading Christian television stations tried to get license. They couldn't do it, but we got license. We got license and went on the air. And, of course, that's the station you see us celebrating right now. That dear brother has gone on to be with the Lord. But, you know, Mike was, he was not a flamboyant guy. He was a quiet guy. He was a worker, hard worker behind the scenes. Anybody who worked with him loved him with all of their heart. He was, I mean, just as sure as he was dedicated to drugs and Zen Buddhism, he now was dedicated to Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And God used him. And out of the little came the big, came the station there that Lord only knows how many people that's the signal of Lighthouse Television in Uganda is touching. And what I'm saying is, tonight I want to bring us, you know, we all have those visions of we're going to go somewhere. You know what we need right now? We need committed people like Joseph who will say, God's called me. Amen. And you know, being on the team is just, if God calls you to Bonga Bonga Land, you go to Bonga Bonga Land. But unless God called you, you better know that God called you. Somebody else's testimony is not going to work for you. But God wants us to be committed where God has given us an open door. You know, where you are doesn't seem as glamorous as somewhere else. Tell me, I've been pastoring for many, many years, and there's days that it's not, many, many days, pastoring's not glamorous, amen, but thank God it's rewarding. It is rewarding when over the years you see God do what God has done, hallelujah, but it's still a faith deal. It's still a faith deal. Everything in this church is still a faith deal, and the thing that touches my heart about Joseph, here was a quiet man. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. But I tell you, he was a team man. I heard a story that I haven't heard anybody else talking about it, but I remember A-Rod when he was with our team here. Anybody, any baseball fans remember A-Rod? All you remember is the millions of dollars that he made, huh? He's with the New York Giants, right? Yankees, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not much of a New Yorker, am I? But long story short, as powerful as the guy is, they pulled him out of the lineup and put kind of a rookie in as a batter. And that rookie knocked two home runs and helped them win that game. And here's A-Rod, the multi-million dollar, you know, the great guy, the golden bat, sitting on the bench. And someone said, aren't your feelings hurt? Aren't you offended? Don't you feel badly about them pulling you out of the line? He said, 10 years ago, I would have felt that way. But he said, I've learned to be a team man. And he said, we won. And if that guy being in the lineup meant that we won, that means my team won. Oh, church, you missed a good chance to shout. I mean, just let me be on the team. Let me be on the team. I mean, here's a guy making very little, and here's a guy making a whole lot, and the guy making a whole lot's benched for a game or two or whatever, and the guy not making much knocks two home runs. And that's what I'm talking about. Bloom where you planted. Do your best where God has, where the coach has said, go for it. You know, folks, we have opportunities at our fingertips. Really, this church has never had more potential opportunities, but it's potential until you put your hand to the plow. Then when you put your hand to the plow, then there it goes. Praise God. But I'm not going to be able to get into this like I'd like to, but Joseph, a just man. And you ladies, you know, bear with me, because I've learned a lot from Mother Mary. I've learned a lot from her faith and her strength and so on. But let's learn from Joseph tonight to bloom where you planted. To recognize where you are is where God put you. You know, the Bible said, you know, prophet's not without honor in his own country. Well, I'm one that got away, I guess, with some of that. But because I'm Harris Hospital. I'm born, bred, and raised in Fort Worth, Texas. Although we've gone into much of the world. But you know, Boy, there's times I've read that psalm, oh, that I had the wings of the morning. Ooh, get me up to 39,000 feet. Ooh, out of here, Lord. But you know what? You know where the blessings are? Bloom where you planted. Thank God for the opportunities that knock at your door. I like what Greg Moore said. Don't covet your neighbor's grass on the other side. Or in your marriage, the grass always looks greener. Water your own grass. Water your own grass. Oh, bloom where you planted. Give it your best shot. Give it your best go and see what God will do. And God looked down and he saw a man by the name of Joseph, a quiet man, not a flamboyant man, but a man that could have shock after shock after shock. And then God could say, leave everything. Leave your carpenter's business. Go down to Egypt, because they were killing the infants. And that was the time. But oh, God saw him through. And then God could come to him and say, don't go the way you've gone. Go my way. Go my way. Go my way. And because he obeyed God. You know, I'm going to say it reverently. Did you know we've got John 3:16 because partially, well, how could you say it? John 3:16 is as much a result of Joseph, because he was the faith father of Jesus. Whew. Ooh, I'm into something deeper than some of you. Get a hold of what I'm talking to you about. Just wrap your heart around this. And just say at this Christmas time, I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. I'm going to shout where God has stationed me. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to shout the shout of victory. I'm going to win souls. I'm going to be a part of the victory team. I'll gladly sit on a bench to see a rookie knock 2 home runs to help us win the game, if that's what it has to be. Amen, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Fear not. Fear not, fear not. And as I looked at this man Joseph, something just ran through my heart. I said, oh God, we need to take another look at Joseph. A just man, a good man, a trustworthy man, a man of character, a man of integrity. Oh, praise God. You know, real believers are not for sale. We're not for sale. We're not for sale. We're not for compromise. We're not for sale. By the grace of God, we will do the will of God. We will do what God has called us to do. Hallelujah. 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 I was just thinking the other day, I mean, there's some people that are very rude to tour guides, but, you know, on more than one occasion, I've talked to our tour guide about Jesus and about, because he's such a great guy. And he assured me, you know, over there, tour guides walk a very political narrow edge. But I've been assured off the record of that trust and that belief. And I believe we're going to see Monty when we get to heaven. I believe we're going to see him when we get up. I believe you can't be as close as he was. And in fact, if someone's calling it to my attention, the last trip we made there, he moved in closer than I've ever seen him move in before. I mean, a lot of times they'll go off and he didn't smoke. Some of them go off and smoke and do something else while you do, you know, you speak. But he stayed close and he listened. And he asked questions, and he stayed close, and he listened, and he asked questions. Oh, folks, listen, we are living epistles born and read of all men. You're the only Bible somebody's going to read. Amen. We took our little great-grandson to a little Christmas performance, and a lady came up and just grabbed my arm. And I didn't know what was happening. It was, you know, in a crowd that I wasn't familiar with because it was just open. And she said, I want to thank you and I want to thank your church. You don't realize what an impact on this community that Calvary Cathedral has had. She said, you don't, Pastor Nichols, she said, I hope I'm not embarrassing you. She didn't say it loudly, but she said, you and your church, you've had an impact on this community that you have no idea. Amen. Well, I'll say this, to God be the glory, because it's because of you and 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 you. It's because of you. It's because of your faithfulness and the faithfulness of me. Stand to your feet. I've got to quit. I can't get any further into this. But I'll tell you, I want to learn some lessons from Joseph, don't you? Praise God, praise God. Thank God for Mother Mary. Nothing will ever take away that precious young woman's faith in God and her dedication and her zeal. But thank God for a man of God that would protect her and love her and do the best he knew how to do and obey God and be willing to shut his carpentry business down if he had to obey God and do what God called him to do. You know, I've come to the place in life, it's not standing ovations for me, but it's standing ovations for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God put this church here to shine as a light, hallelujah, on a hill. God put us here in a world that's half crazy to be a voice of sanity. God put us in a world of unbelief and craziness. I mean, you know, I find I'm throwing away more papers than I'm reading. I've never been, you know, I don't spend hours reading the paper, but this morning, while I was waiting on my coffee, I opened it up. I said, "Where is the good news?" And God said, "You got it in the other hand there." This is the answer for the burglars. This is the answer for the murderers. This is the answer for the rapists. This is the answer for the weirdos. This is the answer for people that are coming apart at the seams, wondering what's going to happen financially in our world. Jesus is Lord. And we're going to sow. We're going to sow. We're going to keep on sowing. We're going to keep on praying. We're going to keep on believing. Hallelujah. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Shout it with me. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. I can do what God said I can do. I can be what God said I can be. I can go where God said I can go. I call in the harvest. In the name of Jesus. I call in the harvest. I call in the laborers. And we will see. We will see the goodness of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.